Who are you?
I'm Boots Electric from the Eagles of Death Metal.
Boots Electric, Jesse, you're not afraid of drum machines, are you?
No, honey, no way. Drum machines are, they provide a beat like a pacemaker would for the heart.
Because some people might think, you know, Eagles of Death Metal, rock and roll, that you would never submit to using a drum machine, but you're into the drum machines. Sing the praises of a drum machine from a rock and roll perspective.
The drum machine is where everything starts with Eagles of Death Metal. It starts with a drum machine beat, and that's how I write the songs around a robotically created beat, if you will. It's pretty sexy, I think. I mean, it's more like a sex manual for children, in, out, in, out, in, out, and that's it.
But do you think that maybe people get a bit scared and angry when they hear the word drum machine, Eagles of Death Metal, in the same way, you know, Metallica cut their hair, Eagles right. of Death Metal, drum machine?
Right, but I think that's the essence of Eagles of Death Metal. Eagles of Death Metal, just the name Eagles of Death Metal is a contradiction, if you will. But it's not really a contradiction. It's showing that if you do things right, if you can do all things in a single action, all things can be accomplished, is what I'm trying to say. And I want to, you know, help.
Jesse of Eagles of Death Metal, here you are in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where the California Roll was invented.
Is that a fact?
Yes, the California Roll was invented by Tojo in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
And that is funny because it's the only form of sushi that I'll eat.
And what's interesting about the California Roll, it was originally called the Inside Out. Get it?
Yes.
Yes, the California Roll.
Inside Out, the Inside Out. That's awesome.
And I was just mentioning that because of the Canadian connections I want to bring in here. So we have the California Roll. There's Eagles of Death Metal and California. They go together, don't
Absolutely.
They? California Roll.
And we also go very well with Canada as well, I would like to say. We personally love Canada.
Have you been doing any odes to Canada in any of your album artwork, Jesse?
Why? What have you heard?
Well, your brand new CD...
Yes, Death by Sexy.
Has a cover picture of...
A wonderful ass.
And legendary Vancouver band Lover...
Boy.
Has a record with the cover of a...
Beautiful ass in pink leather.
Yeah, so is there a connection? Is that the Canadian connection? Eagles of Death Metal and Lover Boy together.
You know, Nardwar, it is so funny because you've caught me. You found me out. I actually was directly inspired by the Lover Boy cover with a little bit of Sticky Fingers thrown in there. But I guess that's all under the crown. I don't know. How do you guys do it out here?
It's amazing you give so many props to Canada. In fact, I think subliminally you are into Canada. Now, is it true, Jesse, you really worked for 5 years in the desert driving a Zamboni? That's Canadian.
Yes, I played also hockey, Canadian no-check rules. As well. Yeah, I did work for 5 years operating a Zamboni. I'm so glad you know that.
In the desert. Can you explain a bit about that? Driving a Zamboni in a desert. Can it get any more Canadian?
It can. And, you know, it was the coolest place in town because it was the ice rink. And
where you think encounter Dr. J. Do you think you could recollect that story, please, Jesse?
I don't know legally if I could, but I met Dr. J outside of the ice rink.
Just a bit of background on Dr. J. Just a bit of background on Dr. J and his importance to Eagle of Death Metal.
Julius Erving is one of the first sports heroes who inspired me to understand greatness with the American Basketball Association. And what basically happened was, is after an interaction where I was joyously received by the bounty of his love, I christened and caused a little extra glistening to occur with his tea. And I think it was a wonderful thing. I think everyone turned out to really have a good time.
So the moral of the story is, if Jesse from the Eagles of Death Metal asks for an autograph, you better give an autograph.
That's exactly what I'm saying, honey, because we're all fans here, and everyone deserves a shot of the ink. Right?
I would like to ask you, Jesse, of the Eagles of Death Metal, more about working at this ice rink down in the desert. Were you at one time, again, Canadian thread here, hit on by some French-Canadian guys?
Actually, it's funny you should say that. I was 16 at the time, and his name was Eve and Mark. And Mark came up to me, and I believe that was M-A-R-C, French-Canadian. And he said, you know, Eve is saying you're teasing him with your ass. And it changed my life forever. There's nothing like a sexy French-Canadian accent. And I knew that ultimately I would have to deliver the world to Death by Sexy because of this bizarre French-Canadian interaction that took place. It's where the entire term Death by Sexy came from.
And it goes right back to the ass. So even back then you had a great ass.
I was
Canadians recognized your ass.
Canadians were recognizing the ass even back in the glory days of the ice rink.
Jesse from Eagles of Death Metal.
I guess if you think about it, then Canada really, in a bizarre way, caused Eagles of Death Metal to happen before. It's like a time loop in a Twilight Zone. Oh my God, it really is.
Eagles of Death Metal is quite complicated, isn't it?
It is. It's complex in its simplicity. There again is the contradiction and irony. It's ABC rock and roll. It's ABC rock.
But not afraid of the drum machine.
Not afraid of the drum machine. No fear of the drum machine, honey.
However, a lot of people have passed through to Eagles of Death Metal. It's really confusing to me who's in Eagles of Death Metal, who's out Eagles of Death Metal. However, one person I think I'll never forget, you have had Motley Crue's drummer in Eagle of Death Metal.
That's right, Samantha Maloney, also the drummer for Hole. Samantha, the Eagles of Death Metal is like the special forces of rock and roll, and all the greats want to be involved in the special forces. That's what happens. So in order to make certain that Joshua stays out of my sun to keep me out of his shadow, we do the revolving drummer thing all the time.
But Samantha Maloney, what did she tell you about Motley Crue, to have a member of Motley Crue in Eagles of Death Metal? And she replaced, you had the woman that replaced Tommy Lee. She's got to be damn good.
The only woman with balls enough to replace Tommy Lee, I think, is what they said. And she became their main member for a long time, I guess. I don't know. No, we still hired her in spite of that. So I'm just kidding. No, you aren't going to say that on TV, are
you? Of course not.
Okay, good, 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 good. Samantha was actually one of the greatest assets, and still is. She's a member of Eagles. Once you're a member of Eagles of Death Metal, you, honey, are always a member of the Eagles of Death Metal. And all that you have to do to become a member is perform live with us once or perform on an entire track in the studio.
Jesse, who was asked to be a member of the Eagles of Death Metal? Did Lars Ulrich of Metallica want to be an Eagle of Death Metal?
I believe he did. I believe he did.
Now, how did that happen? In the same way, did Eddie Van Halen want to jam with Kurt Cobain?
It happened a little differently after a show at Slim's. I think we're still negotiating his application right now as we speak.
What is the connection between Jesse Hughes of the Eagle of Death Metals and the other death metal person, Rick Springfield?
Rick Springfield wrote a song that made my sweet little old life a living hell for a good 2 years when I was in third grade. Jesse's girl did not help me. However, when we recorded the new record, sort of a way to come back to my youth, we set up our vocal booth at the exact spot where the vocals for Jesse's girl were recorded. So I got to record every single solitary vocal for the new album right where the words Jesse's girl erupted from Rick Springfield's lips so long ago.
Jesse, what was it like to meet Fiona Apple?
That was a hot moment. She's an enigmatic girl. She really is. She's kind of got this air of mystery. And everything she does is the majesty of rock pose. You know, she's always posing, even by accident. I think it was pretty amazing. It was also interesting to see that she's really as hot as you would think she would be, you know, artistically speaking.
Jesse, a lot of rock and rollers don't respect the past, but you really do.
You must respect the past. There ain't nothing new under the sun. I mean, everything's really kind of already been done. So you either are going to pretend like you're making it up and look like a fool, or say, I'm just trying to do stuff the same, but the same as, say, someone like Angus Young as opposed to the dude from Poison.
But you also explore the obscure, and I love the fact that you are one of the few bands out there these days that sing the praises of the Sonics. What can you tell the people about the Sonics?
The Sonics... I love this record. This record is what we were listening to primarily while we were recording Death by Sexy, and especially the drums, the drum sounds, the drum tones on this really influenced songs like Boys Bad News and Chase the Devil. But the Sonics, they were a Seattle band, and really it was white dudes obsessed with Little Richard that created punk rock. And it was this kind of stuff that got the Stooges off in the first place. It really was. You cannot touch this stuff. There ain't no way you can fuck with this. It's the greatest rock and roll that's ever been recorded, in my opinion.
Because you're one of the few bands that champions them that's in the mainstream. I've heard other people mention, like the White Stripes have mentioned them, but not that many people mention the Sonics, even though they're really huge out there. So it's great that you, as a younger band, are mentioning that. You as a younger band.
Yeah, so much younger, honey. I'm probably old enough to be everyone's father that's watching your show right now. But I probably am some of them.
Ba-boom!
But, no, man, I think bands like The Hives, who really owe everything they have to the Sonics, should have mentioned them more. But I guess that's my point. There is nothing new under the sun. And if you really, truly honor and respect your heroes, you better give them credit for everything you're taking from them, you know?
Thank you for caring so much about garage rock. I mentioned this to Josh. He doesn't really like the garage rock thread that I try to tell him about. I try to tell him about garage rock stuff. Josh doesn't like to be labeled a garage rocker, really.
No, he's really, I mean, Queens of the Stone Age, in my opinion, not just because he's my best friend, but because they truly are one of the greatest rock bands in the world. It's such a future thing, a future sound, you know. But garage rock, that's where my passion and my heart is, you know. And I love being referred to as a garage rocker. Some of the greatest music I've ever heard is garage rock, all, from the Sonics all the way up to the Evaporators. You know what I mean? It's some of the best fucking rock and roll ever made.
Well, Jesse, I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, because your drummer from the Eagles of Death Metal, if I'm not incorrect to stay here, Gene Troutman was in the Miracle Workers.
Yes. I mean, Gene Troutman,
a legendary Portland garage band 80 revivalist.
Absolutely. Gene, I love Gene so hard, but he was always our first choice. When Josh and I were discussing, like, what kind of band are we going to have? What are we going to put together? Gene Troutman was always my first choice. And to have him in the band now, oh my God, it's a rejoice. It's a rejoicing is what we're having every day. But he's a legend. And that's, again, that's what the Eagles of Death Metal is supposed to be, is the cream of the crop are supposed to come and take their tour of duty, right, with the Eagles of Death Metal.
Your solo record is going to be called Fabulous Weapons?
Yeah, that's my father's very first band was called The Fabulous Weapons. So in sort of tribute to my
your garage rock past.
My garage rock past, I'm going to call it The Fabulous Weapons. And my father was a garage rocker. Classic. From the right down from the pants they wore to the chords they strummed, it was garage punk.
Is there any documentation of that? Any records?
I've got a couple of... my father recorded some reels. I've got about 20 of their songs.
Jesse from the Eagles of Death Metal, I love this quote. We didn't come to save the whales. We came to make some money.
That's right.
And maybe save the whales, too.
That's right. You know, if we can throw in the whales at the end, because, you know, everyone needs love, especially the big ones.
So what did you get from doing a McDonald's/Wendy's commercial?
Money.
But what from Wendy's did you get? What burgers did you get? Did you get anything from Wendy's?
We got the avocado bacon cheddar, I think, was the burger we got. And I got 16 patties of meat. It was so awesome. No, I didn't get any meat. I just was in it for the money. No, I'm just kidding. No.
What did you buy with the money from Wendy's? Do you remember?
I do. I bought my son a new bicycle and an Xbox 360.
You're obsessed with meat, aren't you, Jesse?
Yes.
Now, I mentioned McDonald's earlier. Did you and Josh used to throw McDonald's meat patties at the ceiling?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was actually, my very first job was at McDonald's, and I personally became very angry with the manager, so I let a case of meat thaw out, and I stuck it to the ceiling. And a week and a half later, I was getting busted for something while we were downstairs, and the manager was yelling at me, and something fell. And then something else fell, and it was like out of a movie. He slowly looked up, and there were all these patties of congealed meat on the ceiling, drying and falling, and that was the end of my McDonald's career.
Was that with Josh?
That was Josh. No, Josh came and ate, and he never paid, which I don't know why. But when I got fired, Josh was in the restaurant when I walked out to console me. And actually, the way Josh and I became friends in the first place, honey, was because he stopped a bully from beating me up at my very first high school party when I was 14 years old.
In the pool, right?
That's right. Yes, that's right. My God, your research is impeccable. A bully threw me into the pool and not let me leave. I never saw Josh this night. I only heard him say, "Let him get out of the fucking pool or I'll break in your skull." And I'll never forget those words. They changed my life forever.
Jesse from Eagles of Death Metal, has Josh flashed on stage? I've heard that he's flashed on stage, but how can he do that from behind the drum? And what has he shown?
Well, the very, very first Eagles of Death Metal show ever, technically, was at the Troubadour, and it was for the Desert Sessions. And I was in sort of a Teutonic trucker, biker fashion thing that was happening. And Josh wore a skirt and a rap shirt, so to speak. So when he got off his drums, he adjusted his skirt, and because of his Scottish heritage, he wasn't wearing underwear. And I don't know what that means, but it ultimately flashed the crowd. But I guess it was a good show, because, honey, I'll tell you, he is a big boy.
What sort of clothing has been given to the Eagles of Death Metal? Because you get clothing from fans. Have you got any clothing from fans on this particular tour?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of bras and a lot of a variety of panties and assorted things. I've gotten a quilt and T-shirts and a couple of wonderful sparkly head things and scarves that are very wonderful. And I love them all.
Jesse, at one time did you really go to church with James Brown?
Yes.
What type of church? Was this rock and roll church? Was this an actual church? Because you're from the South.
Yeah, I've met James Brown three times. Once was at a Southern Baptist church, a missionary Baptist church, rather, in Toccoa, Georgia, where he's from, with my mother. And then my friend Patrick Sheehy and I were actually at the, I'll never forget, the McCallum Theater in Palm Springs. It was such a wonderful night. It was so romantic. And when I went charging up to James Brown, his security force thought I was a threat, and I was immediately thrown to the ground and nearly shot to death. But my good friend Patrick managed to persuade them with love, you know, and a lot of stern hugs, and everything was okay.
You're from Greenville, South Carolina?
Yes, I am. One of the finest states in the Union.
And that's where Jesse Jackson is from.
He's also from Greenville, South Carolina. He was actually, I was born at St. Mary's Roman Catholic Hospital, and he was born down the street in Nickeltown.
Is that a democratic sort of enclave, South Carolina?
South Carolina is what's called in America the buckle on the Bible Belt, and it elected Lindsey Graham to the Senate primarily because he was a House manager on the impeachment against Bill Clinton. So I don't think that would suggest it to be a democratic enclave. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's quite a bastion for Republican politics.
Is that how you got into the Republican Party? Because you worked for Sonny Bono, didn't you? How did you work for Sonny Bono, Sonny and Cher? How did the Eagles of Death Metal hook up with Sonny and Cher?
Well, Sonny Bono is a great man, and let us not forget that he is one of the most brilliant engineers and record producers that the 60s knew. He truly was. But he was, like I said, a great man, and I was able to perform a service for him, and I did. And boy, what a service it was.
What exactly was that? Did you actually perform some services for him? What did you deliver to him?
Well, I brought home the bacon, if you will. No, I'm just kidding. I wrote speeches and finesse speeches a little bit and helped him get in touch with his bass.
Do you remember any of the lines you fed Sonny and Cher?
No. I mean,
it'd be great to put those into some songs.
Maybe they have found their way into songs.
What I was interested in, Jesse, was here you are during the day with Sonny Bono, and then you go home and you're working at a porno video store? Is that the double life of the Eagles of Death Metal?
No. It wasn't as dual as that. It started with, once I graduated from college, I began writing a little bit, and then I began working in politics, and then I got married. And this was, I weighed 210 pounds at the time. And so what I did is I took over a chain of video stores, management of them, and one of my primary duties was making certain that all of the adult catalog was fully stocked in all of the stores. And really what happened is I learned a lot about the arts, you know, if you will. I learned a lot about art. I learned a lot about art during that time. And
I were you working for the Republican Party at that time?
Just with votes.
Ba-boom. No, I think that's great. The double life of Jesse from the Eagles of Death Metal. Republicanism and porn. It goes together quite well.
I think it does. States' rights, baby. I mean, really, all I want is my guns and my money, and I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. And that's where I'm at right now. And I just really want to rock and roll, and I just want to make everyone happy with me and proud, and I want everyone to like me.
Jesse, what is a flautist?
A flautist is one who plays the flute, if you will. And the very first instrument I ever fell in love with because of James Galloway and his golden flute was the flute. And so I was inspired to take up the instrument when I was in fifth grade. And I was the first chair flautist for our middle school and high school band. It's a fact, yes.
And it's all over the Eagles of Death Metal albums, isn't it? The flautisms.
I do. I haven't played flute on any Eagles albums. I've played flute on a couple of Eagles covers of a Queens. I released a 7-inch called A Pair of Queens, and I covered two Queens songs. That has flute. And then I play flute on a couple of Queens albums. And I think it's appropriate that I would play flute on an album that has a band title with the word Queens in it. I just do.
And the name of your band is Eagles of Death Metal. And you mentioned him earlier. I want to ask you about Little Richard. How is Little Richard death metal? How is Little Richard death metal? Like, you are the Eagles of Death Metal. How is Little Richard death metal, literally? How is he death metal?
Well, because when he shows up in a baby blue silk suit with his cheese log mustache and his makeup, he scared the living shit out of the world. They burned his records. That was when all of the public service announcements of let's ban rock and roll came out. All that dude had to do was show up and say Tutti Frutti, and everyone was running, let's hide the women and children and the men's and the boys, you know, let's hide it all. That's Little Richard. That's death metal. That's scary. Kabuki makeup and a Cookie Monster voice, that ain't scary, and it's certainly not death metal. And I think I said it before on my very first television appearance, which was here in Canada. Again, the Canadian connection, was that we really just live to make Little Richard proud. And that's a motto of rock and roll. That's a motto of danger.
Jesse from Eagles of Death Metal, winding up here, I wanted to ask you about your appearance on the David Letterman show. It was quite interesting because you weren't actually in the studio. You were on the street. Is that the first time a band's done that? What was that like? You were on the street in New York and it looked like nobody cared.
No, and the way they set up the cameras were that everyone who did care was behind the camera, so it was a wonderful photo op. It was actually the best we've ever sounded. It was the weirdest because everything was piped in remote. All of our amps were in the studio where you would normally play, and using these highly advanced, space-age technologically, created devices, they ran our sound via remote into the studio.
This was at 53rd and Broadway. Could you explain the setup? Like, you're on the street there. What were the people doing that were walking by? Were they looking at you?
They were looking at us, like, oddly. But see, from their perspective, the television audience could hear all the instruments, but everyone on the street could just hear drums and my voice. So it was, after a while, I'm like, screw it. I didn't really use that word. I used a different word. But I said, screw it. Let's just rock and roll. And we did. And I think it was amazing.
Did anybody compare you to, like, U2 playing in the streets or anything? Or think you were another band or something like that?
They actually thought we were the band called Another Band. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Ba-boom. What are your catchphrases, Jesse, from the Eagles of Death Metal? You yell out stuff from the stage oftentimes. Beautiful babies, is that one?
Well, yeah, but that's simply because there's so many beautiful women that tend to crowd the front of the stage. And I say this many times, rock and roll has forgotten about ladies. It's forgotten about sweethearts. So they need to be sweet-talked a little bit while you're up on the stage. I mean, we owe it to them. We've given them so much Limp Bizkit and Syndrome of a Down and whatnot with all the sweating boy party stuff. And I mean, I think that's real art. Don't get me wrong. That's some amazing rock and roll. But it's rock and roll made for dudes to feel sweaty, not for sweet little baby girls to feel sweaty. So of course, when I'm up on stage, I want to remind every single solitary girl that I'm making music just for them to have a good time and to show them that I appreciate them.
And you also go the extra effort, Jesse. You invent dance moves. Have you invented any new dance moves this particular tour? Or recently, have you invented any new dance moves?
I invented the Copacabana when we were in Austin. And
could you demonstrate for us? Maybe just put that down?
No. You got to tame the beast before you let it out of the cage. So I'm not really... I shouldn't even be talking about it right now.
Well, I'm always interested in learning, and I'm sure the viewers are too.
No. I can't show you that one. I don't even know. I'm going to get killed even bringing that one up because it's so unprepared. It's so unready. But no, there's just, it's basic boot scoop moves. It's really all, the boots change your life. And if it's boots electric. So if you get your pigeon-toed move and you can do that one, you know, and then you can do the slide where you kind of just top, tip, top. That's one of the moves that I teach right now at my dance studio in Palm Springs. So, you know, dancing is the other part of my life.
Things seem to be going really well at the Eagles of Death Metal, Jesse. Did your gig at the Troubadour in L.A. really sell out in 6 seconds?
It did, 6 seconds. Sold out in 6 seconds. That was one of the craziest gigs we've ever played. But I want to say right now, though, the craziest gig we ever played in our life was when the Eagles of Death Metal came through Vancouver and we had Joey Castillo on drums. That was the most bloodthirsty, rock-crazy crowd I've ever seen in my life. But it didn't sell out in 6 seconds. My point being that Hollywood can sell out in 6 seconds, and that's amazing, the Troubadour. But nothing will ever rock as hard as a Canadian audience. That's just a simple fact of life.
Jesse from the Eagles of Death Metal.
Politics, baby. Politics.
Jesse from the Eagles of Death Metal, where does the Richard Gere not shine?
It's the very same place where the sun doesn't shine, I think. It's commonly referred to as the orifice. I don't know.
Well, thanks so much, Jesse, from the Eagles of Death Metal. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
No, thanks for having us. And you know, thanks for coming down to our shows and dancing. And really, we just want to have a good time, and we want you to have a good time, too.
Why should people care about the Eagles of Death Metal?
Because we're sweethearts and we're lovable, and because there's a lot of reasons why people should care about the Eagles of Death Metal. I'll start from the beginning. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're just a good time rock and roll band, and if you don't care about that, then I wouldn't really want to hang out with you anyway.
Well, thanks so much, Jesse, from the Eagles of Death Metal. Keep on rocking in the free world, and doot doodaloot doo.
Doot doo.